CJLO.
For CJLO News, this is Ahmed Mushtahid.
To our knowledge, this is the first time in Canada that a zoo owner is facing criminal animal cruelty charges, and it's also the first time in the history of Quebec that animal cruelty charges have been laid by way of indictment, which is a type of prosecution that is reserved for the most serious offenses and opens the door to harsher penalties.
This was Sophie Gaillard, lawyer and spokeswoman for the SPCA, referring to Norman Trahan, owner of Saint-Édouard Zoo in Trois-Rivières, who was arrested by SPCA officers and the SQ on charges of animal neglect and cruelty. After evaluating the condition of the animals at the zoo, a senior campaign manager told a news conference that most animals remained in dilapidated enclosures, had limited access to food and water, and appeared to be in need of veterinary care. The charges stem from a visit in August 2018, when the SPCA said it noted several alleged violations. In a subsequent visit in October, officials seized two alpacas that were in poor health and found four deceased animals, including two tigers. A resident who lives nearby the zoo told CTV News that he has seen dead or dying animals on the property. If convicted, the owner of the zoo could face a maximum of 5 years in jail and a lifetime ban on owning animals. Canadian Minister of Tourism announced investments in support of Pride festivals across Canada, including major investments in Pride Toronto, Fierté Montréal, and the Vancouver Pride Society. Regional economic development agencies will work with Fierté Canada Pride to support even more Pride events across the country. Other projects will include LGBTQ diversity training and market readiness programs in order to provide safe and respectful sites across Canada that everyone can enjoy. These investments, part of the Canadian Experiences Fund, foster values of diversity and equity, making Canada a welcoming destination for LGBTQ travelers. In a statement, the UN Refugee Agency said that given the worsening political, economic, human rights, and humanitarian situation in Venezuela, the UN now considers that the majority of those fleeing the country are in need of international refugee protection. The new guidelines underscore the growing humanitarian crisis in Venezuela that is forcing people to take desperate journeys in search of food, medicine, and other basic necessities. The crisis comes as the country is locked in a political struggle between Juan Guaido, leader of the National Assembly of Venezuela, and Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. To hear the newscast and learn more about the news team, visit cjlo.com/news.
And I stumble to the kitchen, pour myself a cup of ambition, and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping, with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living.
Gorgeous divas. That was so extra. Welcome back to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 1690 AM. This is the Golden Dragon, Erdine. And here we talk about anything that is concerning, confusing, and intriguing women. And also whatever interests me. Because it's my show. Anyways, so I hope y'all have been good. Well, how's your week been? Terrible? Okay, good, meh, time passing by fast? I don't know. Anyways, I have been very annoyed these days, and I haven't been feeling like a true goddess. Well, actually, I felt like a golden goddess like 17 hours ago, so, I mean, 17 hours still a long time. But aside from like having a few terrible days, I had a really horrible day today, mostly because of people, and I hate people, but also because I was hangry, so my bad on that part. But okay, quick story time. So I had a horrible day, and I was like, you know what, let's walk home because, you know, I'm trying to be cute like that. And then as soon as I come out of school, it's raining. And I was like, you know what? I'm from Vancouver. The rain doesn't touch me. Rain touched me. Yeah, rain touched me and I was soaked. I walked for 45 minutes. I was literally dripping and my feet were so wet. My shoes were soaked. And I was like, oh my God, this is how I'm going to get stinky feet. How I'm going to get athlete's feet, y'all. Nothing against people with athlete's feet. I just don't want to add another thing to my routine because it is lengthy. It takes time for me to get golden and beautiful and gorgeous. Although I am gorgeous 24/7, it just, you know, takes a while to go that extra level. Well, mostly because I poop for like 7 hours. Anyways, aside from that, I got like, yeah, I was really wet, came home, was trying to eat because I was hangry, but then I made too much pasta because I was delusional, and then I ate pasta, and I had a huge stomach ache. I still have it now, and so I've just like been suffering, and Thursdays are really long, so I just have to go home and sleep it off, sleep for like 14 hours, and I'll be back on track. Hopefully, I'll be back on track, though. If not, that'll be super sad. Yeah. But, okay, also, tomorrow is a day where the Botanical Garden is free. I'm not sure if it's called the Botanical Garden or Biodome. I'm not sponsored by them. They don't even know I exist, but I just thought I should let you all know, you know. Stop Netflixing, go out, enjoy some plants, nature, get all that bad juju out of your system. You know, just, you know, it's cute, you know, get a little situation going on. But I mean, if you don't want to go out, that's fine. But it is free tomorrow all day, 9 to 5. So, you know, and to come out. Okay. Also, another thing, I am so glad, and I'm sure maybe you might be, if you're into astrology, that Taurus season is OVER. Because I'm going to be honest, Taurus is the most boring and forgettable signs of them all. I'm sorry, I said it. And I know a lot of Tauruses, like my mom's a Taurus, my sister's ex-boyfriend's a Taurus, don't know why that relates. Like a bunch of people I know are Tauruses, but honestly, like they're extravagant, but they're kind of boring, you know? Like they're too safe. And I don't trust anybody who doesn't take a passionate stance on anything, you know? Like, why are you so lukewarm? Why? What made you be lukewarm? Because at the end of the day, lukewarm is the worst type of water to drink. Do you agree? Because cold water, wow, refreshing. Teeth hurt, amazing. Need to get my enamel checked. Go to the dentist. Hot water, I can feel all that oil being scraped off my intestines, forming into a nice little poopy. Get a hot tea, hot coffee. Lukewarm water, I mean, what are you good for? You can't even break down honey. Like, let's go, you know. Yeah, I don't like that. Yeah, so anyways, yeah, Taurus season was like unseasoned. Salt, just salt, you know, no seasoning. It was boring. I feel nothing. But it is Gemini season, and I feel like we are facing dualities of ourselves. And I have had a long, long, long-standing beef against Geminis because I just don't trust them. They talk way too much. They talk at you, not with you, you know. But I met this one Gemini, it's been like a yearish, right? And this Gemini is literally a superstar, ray of sunshine. And it just so happens that this Gemini's birthday is today. So I'm talking about Grace, and I'm sure if you are my dedicated listeners on Thursday nights, y'all know that Grace has been mentioned on my show three times in a row. I have no friends. Literally, I think I have like three friends. But yeah, today is Grace's birthday, and she's honestly truly fabulous, super reliable, super hardworking, great communicator, always convinces me to go out for after work drinks. Yeah, she's in the countryside, so I can't see her today. So everyone, please wish her warm, you know, wishes, good race, fabulosity, you know. Yeah, you know how it feels. Okay, so all of that ranting aside, today's topic is, I'm sure y'all been seeing it a lot in the news. I'm going to be really digging deep, getting dirty. And it's about abortions and the anti-abortion movement that is really picking up traction and has been in the news as of late. And this episode will be a little ranty and hopefully informative. You'll hear a lot of my voice. There's no guest speakers, you know, etc. And we have a lot to discuss, you know? And I think like the news covers a lot about what's happening in America. I mean, rightfully so, because crazy things are happening there. But also there is a growing anti-abortion movement here in Canada as well, you know? So just like a little warning, you know? I just want to say that this episode will be biased. It will not be objective. And before I start, I should mention that I am pro-choice. Always will be. Always was. Don't plan on changing. And if you come my way with that pro-life, fear-mongering, graphic imagery, listen, I'm going to put you in my freezer and freeze you, okay? So, get out of my way. And I feel like with anything, with like whether you're pro-life or pro-choice, you should always be able to provide correct information that is informative and all-encompassing. You know, you can't be leaving out important information and using fear-mongering and pulling at heartstrings and trying to convince really young, impressionable people, you know, to join your movement just because you need the numbers. Okay? So let's just put that out there. I am not objective. I'm subjective. I am pro-choice. I would never care about anti-abortion, okay? That's never going to happen in my book. So yeah, I just want to say that, you know, just, you know, a little advisory. I'm not objective. This will be biased. Okay. So this is my show and my views. And if you don't agree, you don't have to listen. If you do, listen to your discretion and you can, you know, hear out what I have to say. You know, just laying down some information. So yeah, I hope you'll enjoy. But before we get started, I want to play a little song, you know, just before we get into this big, big, big topic. And the song that I have is called Man's World by Joy Crooks. She's a singer-songwriter from England. And I think she is half Pakistani, but I can't be sure. But her lyricism and the imagery in her songs are so insane and so beautiful. And her voice is just yummy, like blueberry jam. I love it. So yeah, anyways, after the song, we'll have a short break and then we'll come back and dive right into the topic. So without further ado, here is Joy Crooks. It's Man's World. You're listening to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 1690 AM. Don't go anywhere!
How do you know I want it more? Girls never blush, I must have let it pour. Regret that I let you abandon my curfew. Pathetic with the fallacy, fantasizing what the storm would do to me. Tornado hit the bedroom, the feet then start to come through. Catching what I should have left far behind. Stereotype that I thought I could find. He's
feeding me words he knows I want to hear. And although they get tasty, you should disappear. Man's world, that's not for fucking with the man's world. Ain't got no lover, ain't got no time, ain't got no mister to tell me what, when and why. Ain't got no lover, no, ain't got no time. Don't need no mister to tell me what, when and why. I find my love in red wine, no chaser. I get by with my liquor and my paper. Red wine, no chaser. I get by with my liquor and my paper. Candy Crush and Novocaine, I'm guessing that the purple didn't need the rain. Regret that I let you soak in my perfume. I'm hoping that it's just a phase, and soon enough we'll turn back to our salad days. Tornado hit the bedroom and now I can't see myself catching what I should have left far behind. Same old cliche that I thought I could find. He's feeding me words I do not want to hear. And although they mean well, you should just disappear. Man's world, no time for fucking with a man's world. Ain't got no lover,
no love.
Ain't got no time,
no time.
Ain't got no mister to tell me what, when and why. Ain't got no lover,
no love.
Ain't got no time,
no time.
Don't need no mister to tell me what, when and why.
Venco, Greenland Productions, and Blue Skies Turn Black present Angel Olsen, performing live in Montreal, supported by Vagabond. Don't miss this tender rock and roll singer-songwriter at MTELUS on Monday, November 18th at 8 o'clock p.m. Tickets are on sale now.
Sight in her eyes, all it wasn't what she said.
What up, y'all? It's Timothy De La Ghetto, a.k.a. Traffic.
Yo, what's good? This is Josh Turner.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Megan Lee.
This is David Trump.
This is the Mighty Major One.
What's up, y'all? Kevin Hicks from the Far East Movement. The Kira One.
This is Jin.
Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, lyrics for Beats from the East on CJLO Radio with my man, DJ Mr. V.
Beats from the East with DJ Mr. V. Urban music from the Far East Asian communities worldwide. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. only on CJLO. Yeah.
And we're back on Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 1690 AM. Do you like my little jingle? Okay, you don't have to like it. That's okay. Okay, so let's just get right into it. Also, was that song beautiful or what? Okay. So, anti-abortion stuff has been in the news a lot these past 2 weeks, and I learned about it when I was reading the news and I saw the Georgia ruling and how like Hollywood is like, we're gonna pull out, we're not gonna do anything there. And I was like, oh good, this is just like a unique, like, you know, a thing there, you know. And then I just saw everything happen. So I know there's a lot of information out there, and I want to talk about the context of the Alabama and the Georgia bands and like how they came about, because they are not idiosyncratic. There has been a lot of movement behind these two rulings and more rulings. And pro-life supporters have been working really, really hard to bring this nightmare into the spotlight for a hot minute. It's really, really unfortunate, honestly. I feel like the pro-life, pro-choice, like the debate, I don't even think it's a debate, because pro-life, what is pro-life? Has been going on for centuries. And people just don't learn, it seems. And I was reading about it, and I mean, when I tell you the list of states that are like out, like trying to ban everything, right? They're like highly religious states, you know, where there's a lot of religious populations there. And it's like mostly Christians, and all the subsidiaries of and committees of the Christian culture, Christian religion. So the pro-life and the anti-abortion movement really got a lot of traction recently because of Brett Kavanaugh. Brett Kavanaugh is the judge who was about to be sworn into the Supreme Court of America when he went to court for allegedly, I feel like he's guilty, but whatever, I mean, he's so annoying. He allegedly sexually assaulted a woman, and obviously white society forgave this white man, rich white man, and he was sworn into the Supreme Court of America. And the Supreme Court is the highest ruling body in America. In Canada, we also have a similar situation. And there are 9 Supreme Court judges, I guess, and he is the 5th conservative member of the Supremes. So the other, I guess, Democratic ones are outnumbered. So this becomes kind of dangerous when making decisions. And the Supreme Court, you got to understand, they make really, really big decisions, you know? So I think if it's anything like in Canada, how it works is that first, I think they have like lower, I think there's like 3 levels of court you can go to. And it also depends on like civil, criminal, I think that's how it works. You go to like a small one. I don't think it's called local, but you go to a lower court to like for whatever. And then you can appeal that decision to a provincial or like a state court, I think. And then from, at least in Canada, you can appeal it to a provincial court. And then after the provincial court rules on it, you can appeal that decision and submit it to the Supreme Courts. And the Supreme Courts, they decide, they're very selective on what issues they will decide on. And usually the issues that go there are quite hot topic issues. They affect a lot of people. Like a famous one is that went to Supreme Court was like the Loving versus, was it Virginia? Where they banned interracial marriages and they were like, nah, not gonna happen. Or it was South Carolina. I don't know. It was one of those provinces. It was one of the states. Okay, so anyways, so Kavanaugh, after he was sworn in, he is the 5th conservative member, so this makes it annoying. So that's why the pro-life people are getting more ballsy in getting bans passed across Canada. They're not just, they're taking their fear-mongering ways into the court and actually trying to make it into laws and legislations and ban abortions and ruin people's lives. And the final aim for the anti-abortion people are to challenge or bring the Roe versus Wade to the Supreme Court. And the Roe versus Wade ruling legalized abortion across all 50 states in America in 1973. And if it does go to Supreme Court, and if Roe v. Wade is challenged, the power of like legalizing abortion would go to individual states. So I know these states are like banning passing legislations that are extremely, extremely limiting, and there are very little exceptions, but it is not illegal yet. But if Roe v. Wade is challenged, and if the pro-life people win, it could potentially ruin this, like, all across America, abortion is legal thing. And it would be messy. So we don't want that to happen. We don't want that to happen. There are 50 states. There are some problematic states that I'm about to call out, okay? So, and also, like, just to go back to Brett Kavanaugh and why it's he was annoying, is because the Supreme Court judges rule on this, and there's five conservative judges on it, and usually conservative people tend to have a pro-life approach to things. So, anyways, who knows? We'll hope for the best. So Alabama's ban is the most severe because it has very limited exceptions. Quote, I will read it out, to avoid a serious health risk to the unborn child's mother if the unborn child has a lethal anomaly and if the woman has an ectopic pregnancy. I don't know what ectopic pregnancy is. And there are no exceptions for incest or rape victims, which is very weird. And there was an amendment pushed, but it was rejected. So that is very, very problematic and very scary. God, just thinking about this makes me so mad. Anyways, so doctors who perform the abortion can face up to 99 years in prison, and they are considered felons. That is honestly crazy. That's why Alabama ban is crazy. And this is the quote Kay Eve said when she signed the final approval. So she was the Republican governor who had to like sign it to make it like legit. Quote, "This bill stands as a powerful testament to Alabamians' deeply held belief that every life is precious and that every life is a sacred gift from God," end quote. But who are you to decide on behalf of others who don't believe in God or not your God? Who are you to decide on their behalf? Don't get it. And I'm pretty sure gifts are supposed to be a pleasant thing, you know, not something that could potentially harm, endanger people's lives. But yeah, anyway, so I did some digging about what states are making these terrible moves, and like also Georgia is horrible. Georgia did pass that. So here are the situations. So aside from Alabama and Georgia, in 2019, pro-lifers have been having a ball trying to ruin people's lives. So in March, Mississippi, Arkansas? How do you pronounce that state? Arkansas? Kentucky passed the heartbeat bans. So that's when, like, heartbeat is detected, and the heartbeat can detect it at, like, 8 weeks, even before, like, some people know they're pregnant. And then in April, Ohio and Utah passed the same heartbeat bills, and in May, Georgia and Alabama. Iowa way back, signed a heartbeat bill in May 2018, but it was struck down because bye. Thank you, next. Goodbye. Close the door on your way out. They're really terrible. And then there are some states that are actually just working on signing these and like enacting these heartbeat laws. And they are Missouri, South Carolina, Florida, West Virginia, Louisiana. And in Florida's case, they did, I think in February, they had like a heartbeat bill that like a ban go to House, and then I think it went to House, and then it went to Senate, but then Senate like struck it down, but then this Republican governor was like, I'm gonna bring it back. I was like, okay, I hope you get eaten by an alligator or whatever's down in Florida, I don't care. And then Texas also tried to pass a really, really terrible Alabama-style ban, but it failed. I think it failed like 2 days ago. So, but okay, so those are the horrible, horrible states that are trying to take away people's rights to their bodies and their choices. And then there are some states in the America that are a little more sensible, and they are doing things to protect and fortify their pro-choice laws. So New York is the first one. In January, they passed a law to protect doctors and medical professionals from criminal consequences because, like in Alabama, like I mentioned, doctors can go to prison. And then they added in their like already existing abortion law, quote, the abortion can be performed after 24 weeks of pregnancy if the fetus is not viable or when necessary to protect the mother's life, end quote. And I really like that they put this in, that when necessary to protect the mother's life. I mean, God, this is a very, very frustrating topic for a lot of people. And I feel very frustrated reading about this. Anyways, okay, I will try to go on without being too upset. Vermont is trying to pass a constitutional amendment to protect the right to an abortion. And before this becomes law, though, it has to be voted and like discussed in the referendum in 2022. So good for you, Vermont. And Vermont would be the first state to make abortion a constitutional right. So props to you. Can you hear me clapping for you? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Maine, 2 days ago, the state of Maine voted 74 against 58 to pass a bill that would expand the number of healthcare professionals who can perform abortions in the state, which is amazing. You know, the more the merrier. The bill would allow, with proper training, a physician assistant or an advanced practice registered nurse licensed as such in the state to perform abortions, in addition to a licensed allopathic or osteopathic physician. And the bill is heading to the state next month, I believe. And Nevada, an all-female, I think it's like a female majority or all-female House assembly in Nevada, passed a bill 2 days ago that would rewrite the existing state laws to no longer require doctors to tell women about the emotional implications of an abortion. The doctor would still have to explain the procedure and its proper post-operation care, along with the risks associated with the procedure. This goes to Senate next month, I think. This goes to Senate next, and then it'll be handed to Democratic Governor Steve Sisolak, and the governor is the last person to sign off, and then it becomes a full thing, you know? So, it's like, when I was looking at the states that are trying to ban and, like, make these very limited bans on abortion, and then when I look at the provinces that are more progressive, it's almost like the educated and cultured states, that was shade, are making progressive choices not dependent on God's will, and the states that are actively trying to strip people of their choices are the extremely bothered, God-fearing people. But like, God tells you not to pass judgment and potentially terrible laws that ruin people's lives. So what's happening? Now would be a good time, Jesus, to come back to life, like run across water and tell these people how entitled and forceful they're being, you know? God, please come back. Thank you very much. Sincerely, yours, 13. Okay, so that's kind of like the situation in America, and the pro-choice movement is, you know, like fighting, and there are organizations in Alabama and Georgia who are trying to fight this, and I'm pretty sure that these legislations will be challenged at some court. But I really hope that, like, if a lot of states do continue to pass these type of bans, the federal ruling of Roe v. Wade could be in trouble, and it could risk making abortions illegal, you know? So that's a little scary. Okay, so obviously America takes a lot of spotlight in everything, but let's talk about Canada a little bit, you know? But before that, I was looking into Canada's history with abortion, and it was juicy, okay? Let me tell you, there are some really dedicated individuals fighting in Canada. So here's the tea on Canada. So abortion in, sorry if you heard that noise, chair noise. Abortion in Canada is legal until the 14th week of pregnancy and is governed by the Canada Health Act. And up until 1969, abortion was illegal in Canada, and it carried the sentence of a lifetime. Ooh, yeah, terrible. In 1969, it was amended by a bill introduced by Senior Trudeau, Mr. Pierre, father to Justin, and this amendment provided for abortions when the health of the woman was in danger, as determined by a 3-doctor hospital committee. This is, I mean, that's kind of limiting and kind of annoying, but I mean, it was a step. It was 1969. So Morton Shulam, who was this like big dog chief coroner of Ontario, said that he like released a bunch of reports saying that when abortion was illegal, rich people, like daughters of rich people, just went to these like reliable physicians. They were referred to these like, you know, bougie physicians who did abortions for cash. And it was done safely in a clean environment, in a sanitary environment, and they went on with their lives. But Dr. Shulman also said that people who were not financially stable went to these like abortion specialists, I guess, and they didn't have a safe place, and it wasn't sanitary, so there was a high mortality rate, and a lot of them died. And even if they did survive the operation, a lot of them died due to like mass infection. So the method of this illegal, like underground abortion was pumping Lysol into the woman's womb. So I can see why they would die and have infection. I cannot imagine the pain and the courage that these women... God, don't people learn? Like, people must... There is such pure desperation for people to go to these lengths and risk their lives, yet people are still being pro-life. Like, what are you talking about? Go away. So Dr. Shulman was tired of the buffoonery, okay? And he decided to spill the tea, okay? He made all of his reports public, okay? And he recommended all of his junior coroners to have like public inquests I don't know what the inquest is, but I'm guessing they're like public forums where they like tell people about this. Dr. Shulman also, he made a bunch of recommendations to edit the Criminal Code of Canada. That's when Pierre, in 1967, got a wind of this, and then he introduced the bill, and then blah, 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 blah. And then the bill was turned into a law in 69. But a little background on the 69 bill. Even though the amendment in the criminal code was great, you have to know that it was very limiting because there was very limited access to abortion sites, and it was not like a regular operation. You had to get like lots of special permission, and you have to go to these three doctors' committees, and you know, and you never know what kind of ruling they'll give. Nasty. Also, fun fact. There is an anti-abortion violence like thing described in the Canadian Security Intelligence Service. And this Canadian Security Intelligence Service defines anti-abortion violence as single-issue terrorism. How great is that? So do not be coming at me with those fear-mongering images. Okay, so like I was saying, even after the 69 ruling and the amendment of the criminal code, there was, you know, very little access for women to get abortions. And so women even went to the U.S. to get it, ironic with the current situation. But after, like, outside of the mainstream spotlight, there was a very hardworking man working behind the scenes, challenging the province, okay? I'll get to that. But in 1989, though, was when abortion was like regularized and treated like a regular medical procedure. And how this happened was because of this amazing man. He was this physician, Henry Morgenthaler, who basically admitted to performing over 5,000 illegal abortions. And it's illegal abortions because he did these abortions without the three doctor committee. And he like went to the Quebec court and he like challenged them, and Quebec tried to prosecute him like over three times. And he like, you know how like I explained, it moves on from provincial courts to Supreme Courts. So after he challenged in Quebec, he moved on to the Supreme Court. And then it was like a long, long, long battle. And then he finally won. He actually challenged this, like the three doctor committee, back in 75, but he lost. But he didn't stop and he kept trying. And in 89, it was he won, and it was fantastic. And like I said, his challenge started in Quebec, and like Quebec tried to prosecute and jail him like three times, and he even received an 18-month sentence. But people like majorly protested, and he came out winning. He was like, "All I ever do is win, no matter what." Is that the song? I don't think that's the song. But yeah, so after the 89 ruling, Morgenthaler did not stop, okay? He kept going. He went on to challenge like bunch of these laws in different provinces. So I think his most known are, he challenged New Brunswick to have abortion recognized as a constitutional right under the Canadian Charter. And he also challenged Ontario and also like Quebec. Quebec was just always coming after him. Now, I want to give y'all some juicy deets about Mr. Morgenthaler, okay? So, Mr. Morgenthaler, he is a UDM grad. He is a physician who, like, started in 55 as a family doctor, and then he kind of, like, moved into, you know, this kind of stuff. So, he went to UDM. He was a Holocaust survivor. He moved from Poland to the U.S., and then he settled in Montreal with his wife. He himself admitted he was a proud womanizer. Ugh, can never find a good man who's just, you know, good, you know. and he was one of the first Canadian doctors to perform a vasectomy to insert intrauterine devices and to provide birth controls to unmarried women. Interesting. And so after the court ruling in like from like 75-89, he continued to move across Canada and open different private clinics to offer abortions, because like I said, like access was still a problem, and each provinces have like different ways of like making abortion available to people. So he just like went around a bunch of provinces. He went to Halifax, he was in Montreal, he was in BC, he was in Winnipeg, Manitoba, like all of that stuff. And he would open these clinics, and then he would provide services, and he would also train other physicians to perform abortions, or like he would find other doctors to carry on, and then he would move on to another province and start the situation again. So he really was, you know, a great guy. But he had a clinic in Ontario, and it was raided, and the Ontario people arrested him, and he was tried. Ontario tried to prosecute him for doing intentional miscarriages, but Henry was like, nah, not today. I won against the Supreme Court. You're nothing. So he came out winning. Yes, Henry, I'm proud of you. Okay. So that was a lot of talk. But before we, you know, get into like outro and talk more about like current day Canada and everything, let's take a quick break and then, you know, let all this sink in, get some refreshments, you know, I'll give you some final sense on the thought and then, you know, talk about other stuff. So don't go anywhere.
The Saint-Amboise Montreal Fringe Festival allows for more than 500 local, national, and international artists to cross paths. They can explore unknown artistic territories in theater, music, dance, and visual arts. Discover the biggest bilingual art party Montreal has to offer with a three-week festival featuring over 800 shows. May 27th to June 16th, Montreal's Plateau neighborhood will be buzzing with excitement for the 29th edition of the festival. Hashtag Fringe Buzz.
Is this thing on?
Join me, Allison, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on Transistor Sister, where I play the songs that are stuck in my head so then they can get stuck in yours. The best in alternative punk, indie, with a sprinkling of pop, only on CJLO 6090 AM.
And we're back. Welcome back to Sparkling Introspection on CJLO 6090 AM. I'm your host, Sardine, the Golden Dragon, and today we've been talking about abortions, the movement, and how the anti-abortion movement looks like in Canada. So before the break, we were talking a little bit about Henry Morgenthaler and what he did to make abortion legal and accessible in Canada. So before we go, I want to talk to y'all about what current day Canada looks like and how the, abortion movement looks like. Here's some data. A 2016 poll found that about 77% of Canadians, that's like 3 out of 4, support abortion, but we are less progressive than other countries like Sweden, who's 87% supportive, and Belgium, also 87%, and France, who is 86% supportive. So we could do some work, okay? We will do some work. Also, I was listening to some podcasts, and I heard some things that were kind of annoying. But before we get into that, I just want to like mention this person real quick. Maybe y'all have seen it in the news. There is an MPP in Ontario called Sam Osterhoff. I think his name is Sam Osterhoff. And basically, he's this like 19-year-old, super conservative, super religious from a very small community. And he's the MPP of Niagara West. And this, I mean, like, his whole platform was supported by his church people, and like, he has been very open about his conservative views, and he just, like, you know, wants to, like, not let abortion happen. So, like, he's crazy anyways. And he's in office, and he was at a pro-life rally this week, okay? And, it was on May 9th. Sorry, not this week. It was on May 9th, and he appeared on stage at the anti-abortion protest in Queen's Park, and he said, quote, "To fight to make abortion unthinkable in our lifetime," end quote. Terrible man. Horrible person. I hate him. And people in Ontario are like rallying to have him impeached from his office. Like, bye. See you later. Thank you. Next. Be like Ariana's ex-boyfriends and get out of here, you know? So Sam Osterhoff is a problem. So I really suggest y'all look into him, because I think he represents a lot of people who are like anti-abortion and who can be really annoying. So read into that and, you know, ostracize him. His name is Osterhoff. That's funny, right? Okay. So I was listening to this podcast called Big Story, and it's really great. I really recommend y'all. And they mentioned something interesting about people, the people who make these laws. And obviously, when we look at it, we often think of the people who make these like anti-abortion laws as like rich white old men, you know. And to most part, it is mostly white old men. But these days, there are some young people who are being recruited into the pro-life movement, and they are mostly white people, but I'm so ashamed to say it, but there were some Asians there too. So they are being recruited, and in Canada too. And I was reading this magazine on, is it called Chatelaine magazine? And so this person was saying that lots of young people are being recruited by these pro-life organizations who make really convincing marketing spiels about like pro-life and how they value all life, and they just want to be like feminist, and they're protecting everyone. They just love everything, you know? And these like really impressionable young women are being recruited into this. And in the podcast, they were saying that these new recruits of pro-lifers are not only just men, there are lots of young women, and these women are like educated young women, you know? And like thinking about this, I thought about like how oftentimes in these like campaigns, like pro-life, et cetera, they don't give all the information, and some of their informations are truly misleading and have no backing. And people are honestly lazy, and they're not gonna go in and like dig deep, you know, because a lot of things have like very deep seated roots. So a lot of young people who are impressionable like believe this, and you know, they want to belong and just kind of get caught up in this. Because when I was younger, I was really impressionable, and I still am very, very emotional. So I can see how a lot of people would like listen and waver, you know. But I think it's also really important to consider like people's lived experiences and the environment that we grow up in. Because this some UVic student is organizing a fancy gala with buffet for March for Our Life. Because March for Our Life is, I'll talk about it in a little bit, but basically she's organizing this fancy gala and is described as having plenty of food and networking. Wow. Let's cheers, because we're about to ruin people's lives. Woo! Enforcing our ideas are so great. Okay, so I want to read y'all this quote from Josie Lutke, who is the Community Outreach Coordinator for Campaign for Life Coalition. And Campaign for Life Coalition, as you can tell from the name, has been working a lot to have these marches. It's very scary. This is the quote. Quote, youth is the present of the pro-life movement and also its future. And she added that anti-abortion is the counterculture of today's society, where the default position is predominantly pro-choice. Decades ago, being pro-choice was seen as being cool and rebellious and going against the social norm. These days, it's being pro-life, end quote. Ooh, yuck. Didn't know people's lives and big decisions could be compared to and used as a trend. That is so sad. Also, people need to grow a spine, okay? Have some balls. Grow a vagina. I don't know, you know. Make your own decisions, okay? It's not a trend. You have people's lives in your hands. But anyway, so this thing, March for Life, is this annual protest against abortions that happens every spring, and it's been happening since 1998. And from 1998, it grew from 700 participants to 15,000 last year. That is crazy, okay? And a lot of these, like, Coalition for Campaign Life Coalition, they say, like, they don't use bad imagery and they don't use, like, fear-mongering, but they work very closely with other organizations that come to these, like, protests and, like, support them that do use, like, fear-mongering and, like, terrible imagery that, like, feature a bloody fetus who's, like, claimed to be, you know, like, 18 weeks or 15 weeks when it's, like, obviously not. But obviously we're not all, like, nurses and they don't know, like, the medical stuff. So people see it and, like, oh, my God, that's horrible, dead baby, you know. So that's the kind of, like, fear-mongering tactics that they use, which is terrible. So that is the current situation in Canada. It is currently pretty accessible, except in, like, some of the maritime provinces where I think you're only allowed to have abortions performed in a hospital. And people who live in, like, the rural area and countryside, it's hard for them to access it still. So they have to travel to big cities. And abortions are covered by Medicare. And in BC, you can just go to, like, a clinic and get it. And same in, like, similar situation happens across most of Canada. Except in some places, it is truly hard to get access. And like I said, Canada has that, like, single issue terrorism thing. Also in BC, they have this law where they ban anti-abortion people to campaign against, protest against, like, abortions outside of clinics that perform outside of hospitals and outside of doctors' houses, because it's unfair and annoying. Okay, that was a lot of talk, and I really hope that y'all learned something. I know it was, like, I was, like, researching, and it was, like, quite thick, you know? I hope y'all learned something and, you know, enjoyed a little bit. But here's my two cents before I go. What I don't understand, for me, the bottom line is how these pro-life people are saying all lives matter, and they're trying to, like, you know, they're, like, unborn fetuses are a gift from God. Yet they're enforcing their ideas and religious beliefs onto other people. I just don't get that. Because whether abortion is legal, now it's legal, it doesn't impact them. If you're pro-life and someone is forcing you to have an abortion, okay, you can go sue that person, you know? But, like, why do you want to make these, like, life-changing decisions that will affect millions and millions of people? Like, why are you trying to ruin people's life? And I just don't think anybody should have that right. If you believe, if you have certain religious beliefs, if you are pro-life, sure, go ahead. Like, it's your choice. Okay, amazing. But that doesn't mean you have to enforce it on someone, you know? You don't have the right to take away someone's choice. And especially for people with uterus, it is their right. It is their lives. And I know people in my family who are very close to me who have had abortions. And let me tell you, it is not something you do because you just want to do it. Like, boom, yeah, I'm getting an abortion. No. There is so much emotional turmoil that goes into it. And when people make this decision, it's difficult. It takes time. and people think about it for the rest of their lives, you know? And just the fact that these pro-life people are literally acting like they know, like giving them, you know, the moral.